And now let's turn to sleep. And I didn't say go to sleep. I said let's talk about sleep. Scientists have learned a lot about sleep in the last few decades. They know some of the brain chemicals crucial for sleep. They know some of the brain regions important for initiating sleep. But while everyone knows we have to sleep, scientists still don't know why we sleep. But clues to the answer to that question are beginning to emerge. Sleep seems to play an important role in learning. We actually get better at certain tasks not by practicing them, but by getting a good night's sleep after we've learned them. The sleeping brain is our topic for the remainder of this hour, so give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. If you want more information about what we'll be talking about this hour, go to our website at www.sciencefriday.com, where you'll find links to our topic. And now let me introduce the expert who's going to guide us through this discussion of sleep. Giulio Tononi is a professor of psychiatry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He joins me today by phone from Milan, Italy. Good evening and welcome to the program, Dr. Tononi.
Hello, Joe.
How are you?
Very well.
Good.
I hear you well.
So the first thing I need to ask you is, what particular part of the mystery of sleep were you trying to answer with this study? What were you looking at?
Well, as you say it very well, you know, we know many things now about sleep, many of the mechanisms, and as you put it, we need to sleep, that's very clear, but why is still a mystery. And one way to get at the function of sleep is to ask how it's regulated. Now, one thing that's very clear in all mammals and other animals, in fact, we also know it's true in fruit flies, is that the longer you stay awake, the more you need to sleep, and your sleep becomes more intense, becomes deeper. In mammals, it's actually very easy to quantify how deep the sleep need becomes by looking at the electroencephalogram, the brain waves that you can record during certain stages of sleep. And they get bigger the more you have been awake.
You mean the waves themselves appear bigger on the electroencephalogram?
Yes, they really get bigger.
Uh-huh.
And the longer you stay awake, the bigger they get. The problem is that it was not at all clear what aspect of staying awake makes you need more sleep and makes those waves get bigger. And that's why we tried to devise some experiment that could give us a hint about the answer.
I see. And so now let's see. I read what the experiment is. It has something to do with people trying to play what amounts to a computer game where they're trying to move a cursor on a mouse or something to follow a target.
Yes, what we did is we used a task that was developed by Dr. Licia Ghilardi at Columbia University, which had one specific aim, that of having a control task and a learning task that looked exactly the same to the subject who was performing them on the computer, as you said, and they also involved exactly the same kind of movement. So there was really no noticeable difference between the two tasks, but one involved learning, the other one did not. And the way it worked is that the computer shows you a target on the screen, and you have to move your cursor towards that target as fast as you can and come back, and then a different target shows up, and you do the same, and it goes on like that many, many times in the control task. When we do the learning task, the subject doesn't really notice, but the computer plays a trick on him, uh-huh. and it rotates the trajectory that you see on the screen, which is your movement, by a few degrees, let's say 15 degrees. And your brain slowly learns to adapt to this and corrects for this rotation so it hits the target as well as before. And this learning we can track very well. So let's say we have subjects, you know, do this task for 3/4 hour before going to bed. And on one session, one day, they do the learning task, and a week later or earlier, they do the control task. As I said, they don't notice any difference, and the movements themselves are the same. But in one case, the brain has to learn. And we happen to know, because of work by Dr. Ghilardi, that there is some specific region in your brain, on the right side of your brain, that is involved when you learn this task when you're awake. So we wondered what happened, and if you put the subjects to sleep. And so Reto Huber and Marcello Massimini in the lab put a rather sophisticated way of doing electroencephalogram on the head of the subject, 256 electrodes, so we could monitor neural activity in great detail. And we sent them to sleep right after they had learned the task. And what Dr. Huber noticed when analyzing the data was quite remarkable. We could see that there was one place in the brain that had bigger waves when the subject went to sleep. They were bigger just as you normally see after you've been awake longer. But this time they were bigger, not all over the brain, but just in one particular spot. And the spot, to our delight, was just the spot that had been seen before during wakefulness by PET as the place where learning takes place.
So that's what you've done is you've found a learning task. It's not even something you're particularly aware of, but the brain is aware of it. The brain has a specific place where it does it. You do it just before you go to sleep, and you see more of this slow wave activity in sleep right after you do the task than if you don't do the task.
Right, and you see it only in one place. So we can make one piece of your brain sleep deeper than the rest. That's why we call it local sleep.
I got it. Interesting. We're talking about sleep with Dr. Giulio Tononi, and you're welcome to join us. Our number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. And I need to remind people that I'm Joe Palca, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Okay, well, let's see what our listeners make of all this. First of all, let's go to Dan in Binghamton, New York. Welcome to the program.
Hey, nice to get through. I can't believe it. I never dreamed.
well put.
Cool. I was wondering, my grandfather, along with my great uncle, has always told me, if you go to bed at like 8 or 9 at night, instead of going to bed at like 1 or 2 in the morning, that every hour of sleep before midnight is equal to like 2 hours of sleep. Is that like an old wives' tale, or is that for real?
That we can't really tell you. I would still advise you to go to bed right after a task. The point is not so much, I think, that you go to bed right after a task. The point is that, as was shown also by other groups very recently, you can do better the next day. And that's, in fact, the part that I haven't mentioned yet. If, you know, we let the subject go to bed after learning the task, the next day they are considerably better in performing it without rehearsing it in their mind or making any effort at all. And that is something that only happens if you go to bed. If you don't go to bed, let's say that if you learn it in the morning and then stay awake and do other things during the day, you don't have this additional improvement. So it looks like sleep can be very helpful for certain tasks, at least. But the interesting thing that we found was that you got better to the degree that your waves got bigger after the task. So if you learn it and then your waves get bigger, then the next morning you are going to be better. If your waves don't get bigger, you don't get better, which suggests that these waves are really doing something useful for you.
Well, that's the question then. I mean, are you going to then make the argument that if you get more of these waves and you do better at learning, that that has something to do with why we sleep?
Yes, although I want to say something more here. We have seen this advantage that sleep provides you. In the next day you do better, and as I said, other groups had shown that too. But we actually believe that there is something even more basic than this advantage in learning. And if I may, I would put it like that. I mean, I said at the beginning that normally you just stay awake longer, you need to sleep more, you get this bigger wave sort of everywhere in your brain. What we think is happening, but this is still an hypothesis at this stage, is that during the day, whether you want it or not, you are constantly learning all kinds of things. And the connections between the neurons in your brain, the synapses, get stronger in a lot of places. So by the end of the day, you've got lots of strong connections in all places all over your brain. Now, the connections are what cost in the brain in terms of energy and in terms of space. The brain, you know, uses up 20% of the energy of the body just by itself. And of that, most is used for the connections that are active all the time. If your connections get bigger, the energy need increases, and you can't really afford it too much. And what we think happens is that during sleep, you recalibrate all connections. They get leaner again, sort of all of them. That gives you some advantage vis-a-vis memory, but above all, it reduces the energy need, and it also provides, you know, some space for new connections to grow the next day, so that by the next day, you're ready to start again and learn all kind of new things. So to put it in one sentence, we think that maybe sleep is the price you have to pay for plasticity, for your brain to be able to learn all kind of things during wakefulness.
Right, and it's clearly something that evolution has kept with us, because it's not a safe place to be asleep, but I guess it's something you need to do.
You put your finger on the most important thing of all. I mean, every animal that has been studied carefully sleeps. You know, some time ago we showed that fruit flies even need to sleep. And it now appears that if one studies a species well, you'll find that they sleep one way or the other.
Okay.
And just as you put it, the danger is that you are giving up consciousness. You're not looking at the world around you. You're not monitoring. So it means it must play some very important role.
Dr. Tononi, thank you very much for speaking with us. Giulio Tononi is professor of psychiatry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Earlier, we spoke with Al Rocha with the National Cancer Institute in Frederick, Maryland, and Paul Sereno of the University of Chicago. This program is produced by Annette Heist and senior producer Karen Vergoth. Charles Bergquist is our director and web producer. Our intern is Erica Altman. If you'd like to write to us, please send your letters to Science Friday, 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10036. For internet mail, you can email us on our internet address at scifry@npr.org or scifry@npr.org. For NPR News in New York, I'm Joe Palca.